Bot Radio Network is pleased to present a special message of hope from the archives of Billy Graham. This radio special, A Life of Thanksgiving, features a message from Reverend Graham, as well as memories and insights from Graham Family Thanksgivings. Enjoy this message from the archives of Billy Graham, and happy Thanksgiving from all of us at Bot Radio Network.
2022 has been a hard year for the nation's economy. And consequently, maybe for you too. Inflation, labor shortages, supply chain issues, interest rates going through the roof, and tens of billions of dollars in damage due to storms. But as significant as those challenges are, none of them diminish the importance of Thanksgiving. In fact, says Billy Graham,
more and more, we are learning that financial security in itself cannot bring happiness and peace of mind. But in America, there is opportunity for service, for friendships, and for spiritual enrichment and development. There is opportunity for preaching the gospel. There is opportunity of receiving Christ and being converted to Him. This is the land of opportunity. No people have so much to be grateful for at this Thanksgiving season than the American people.
Welcome to the Billy Graham radio special, A Life of Thanksgiving. I'm Jim Kirkland. You're going to hear two timeless messages from Billy Graham, as well as memories of Graham Family Thanksgivings from one of their closest friends, David Bruce.
One of their hallmarks, every Thanksgiving especially, would be to go around their ever-growing group, and individuals would express one thing they were thankful for. And it was very emotional, sweet time for that family. It drew them together.
David is director of an important new effort to preserve the history of God's work in Billy Graham's life. It's called the Billy Graham Archive and Research Center.
All of that for an ultimate ministry focus, which is training, equipping, and inspiring the next generation. It's one thing to hold on to dusty historical records. You make them come alive if it informs the future.
Informs the future. Nice phrase. It fits exactly with what this Thanksgiving message from Billy Graham does. He delivered it on the radio program Hour of Decision in 1956. It is an enduring message that can still encourage and challenge you today in 2022.
As Americans pause in the midst of world tension to celebrate Thanksgiving, it should have more meaning to us than at any time in history. We cannot think of Thanksgiving without thinking of those devout pilgrims who celebrated the first Thanksgiving in the bleak frontier country in Massachusetts in 1621. Theirs was not a Thanksgiving enhanced by luxury, ease, and security. Of the 100 persons which had come over on the same ship together, more than half of them had died from exposure and disease. The ones that survived were mindful that with the severe winter setting in, that they too might fall victim to the elements and hazards of the new world. There was no feast the next autumn, and many of the pilgrims had failed to endure the privation of the new land. But the ones who lived were secretly thankful, took heart, and fought on. In every thought, every expression, and every act of those first brave, devout Americans was mingled a vital personal faith in a living, loving God. Even before the pilgrims had left England, they sought God's guidance by setting aside a day for fasting and prayer. William Bradford said that on that occasion, the pastor took for his text Ezra 8:21, which reads, "Then I proclaimed a fast there, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek of Him a straight way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." And he recalls that the rest of the time was spent in pouring out prayers to the Lord with great fervency mixed with abundance of tears. Bradford says, "As the ship which took them loosed its moorings from England, their pastor falling down on his knees, and they all with him, with watery cheeks, commended them with most fervent prayers to the Lord." There is no question about it. America, with her heritage of freedom, was conceived in the hearts of those brave, dauntless, devout people who knew and loved God and desired above all else to worship Him and serve Him. America has become the wonder of the world. No nation has demonstrated more clearly that America, that righteousness exalteth a nation. And yet, with all our prosperity, the problem now is, has America enough righteousness enough spiritual integrity to merit the continued blessings of Almighty God. This Thanksgiving season offers us an occasion to pause and reflect upon our personal spiritual resources and to let our hearts overflow in gratitude to Him who giveth to all men freely and upbraideth not. Let us not be like the ungrateful people of which David wrote, saying, "Oh, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, that set not their hearts aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in His law, and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them." Let us pause during the next few days at this Thanksgiving season and give thanks to God for all that He's done for us as Americans. From Maine to California, from Minnesota to Mississippi, let us honor, glorify, and give thanks to God for His manifold blessings. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name, said the psalmist. America today has so very much to be grateful for. First, let us be thankful this week for peace. While we have no guarantee of permanent peace, so long as men are driven by the lust for power and the greed of gain, we should be thankful for a temporary respite for America from hostility and bloodshed. But we should remember our responsibility to continue to work for peace. Secondly, we should be thankful for freedom. While the divine principle of religious liberty has been an ideal down through the years, America was the first country to guarantee this freedom in its Constitution. The document read in part, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And as it has cost the blood of thousands to maintain that freedom in the past, it may cost blood in days to come." While many nations of the world, under the iron law of dictators, have abolished this freedom, we in America, thanks be to God, still enjoy the right to choose whom we still serve. But liberty imposes a responsibility upon those who possess it. If we are to remain free, our choices must be right, just, and holy. If we use our liberty to foster selfishness, greed, and ambition to the exclusion of faith and virtues which characterize those who laid the foundations of freedom, we could lose it. Let us be thankful for freedom. Not just the freedom to do as we like, but the freedom to do the will of God and to yield ourselves unreservedly to His keeping. Freedom under law. Freedom under moral law, freedom under God. That's the kind of freedom we in America want. Then let us thank God today for opportunity in America, the land of free enterprise, business and industry. There are no respecters of persons. But by freedom of opportunity, we do not merely refer to the making of money, for the abundance of a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. More and more, we are learning that financial security in itself cannot bring happiness and peace of mind. But in America, there is opportunity for education, for service, for friendships, and for spiritual enrichment and development. There is opportunity for preaching the gospel. There is opportunity of receiving Christ and being converted to Him. This is the land of opportunity. No people have so much to be grateful for at this Thanksgiving season than the American people. No nation has been so blessed by Almighty God. Still another reason for gratitude are the signs in our national horizon of spiritual awakening. God is unmistakably knocking at our national door. There is a breath of God in America. This is the moment for Americans to give their lives to God. We must do more than go through religious motions. We must seek a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Believing in God is commendable, but let us remember that even the devils believe and tremble. We must put God at the center of our lives and be living examples of Jesus Christ seen and read of all men. So much of our religion in this country is sham and hypocrisy. We are not awed by the majesty and holiness of God. We are not conscious of the exceeding sinfulness of sin. We need a revival of repentance, faith, and daily walking with God. Finally, We should be thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was faith in the atoning blood of Christ that inspired the founding fathers to sacrifice their very lives that their descendants might have free access to Christ. We should reverently thank God for Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. We should thank God for the incarnation, that He took His place beside man in history. We should thank God for His spotless, transparent life, lived in selfless compassion for the lonely, the hungry, the defeated, and the oppressed. We should thank God for His vicarious death, for that stupendous act of reconciliation which repaired the breach between man and God. We should thank God for His victory over death, hell, and the grave, and for His glorious resurrection. We should thank God for His promise, because I live, ye shall live also. Right now, you need Christ. You have not been grateful to God for all the blessings that you have received. I ask you today to repent of your sins and receive Him as Lord and Savior and trust Him from this moment on.
This Thanksgiving could be the best one you've ever had, the one on which you decide to surrender your whole life to Jesus Christ. There is someone waiting to talk with you about making that decision, and they're waiting right now at our 24-hour prayer line. The number is 855-255-PRAY. That's 855-255-PRAY. Or if you'd rather interact with us online, we're here for you there as well. FindPeaceWithGod.net. That's FindPeaceWithGod.net. Thanksgiving was always a very special time in the home of Ruth and Billy Graham.
One of their hallmarks, every Thanksgiving especially, would be to go around their ever-growing group, and individuals would express one thing they were thankful for. And it was very emotional, sweet time for that family. It drew them together.
David Bruce is Executive Vice President of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He was also, for many years, one of the Grahams' closest friends.
All holidays for the Graham family were centered around Mrs. Graham's extraordinary planning, her great love for her family, and her joy at having the family come home. So for many years, when you think about Thanksgiving or Christmas, she worked diligently to bring everyone home. If you think about 5 children and 19 grandchildren, more than 40 great-grandchildren, and before Mr. and Mrs. Graham passed away, there were great-great-grandchildren involved, little babies.
Ruth Graham passed away in 2007 at the age of 87, and Billy Graham passed away 4 years ago at the age of 99. Earlier this month, David Bruce oversaw the opening of the Billy Graham Archive and Research Center in Charlotte, North Carolina.
At some point in Mr. Graham's long-tenured ministry, there was a desire to hold on to historical records, not so much because it would detail what he did. It was more to show what God had done through this ministry and through the life of a man who was committed to Him. So in every way, the Archive and Research Center is a reflection of the work of God in the world.
The Archive and Research Center is home to a wide variety of artifacts and documents. Items such as podiums from which Billy Graham preached to the boots he wore while visiting U.S. troops overseas. The documents on file range from correspondence between him and Queen Elizabeth II to his sermon notes and manuscripts.
And all of that for an ultimate ministry focus, which is training, equipping, and inspiring the next generation. It's one thing to hold on to dusty historical records. You make them come alive if it informs the future. And so this particular building is a ministry effort of encouraging the next generation. And that would please Mr. Graham more than anything else.
You'll hear more specifics in this program about the ways in which the Archive and Research Center will train, equip, and encourage the next generation. And you'll also hear David Bruce share another Graham family Thanksgiving memory. Right now, though, let's listen to the Thanksgiving message that Billy Graham shared with us on the Hour of Decision radio program in 1979.
It was in a religious sense that our founding fathers observed the first American Thanksgiving. They were devout Christians and students of the Bible, and they paused to give united thanks to Almighty God. At least 47 of our years of history, there was no Thanksgiving. From Madison to Lincoln, there was no day of Thanksgiving set aside. Nor has it always been on Thursday, nor has it always been in November, as we celebrate it today. Only since the days of President Grant have November and Thursday been the custom. In fact, the Pilgrims had theirs on December 30th, 1621. The first official proclamation for a day of Thanksgiving was made in Charleston, Massachusetts, June 20th, 1676. From that time till the first Congress held in New England, it was an old New England custom to have one day a year to set aside as a day of Thanksgiving. The New England representatives brought it into our national focus in 1774, and the first proclamations for a day of Thanksgiving were issued by Congress from 1777 to 1783. Those who have set aside a day of Thanksgiving to God were Bible-believing men. They were the first ones. They had found in the Bible that God had often called his people to a time of solemn thanksgiving. More than 150 times the Bible either calls men to thank God or tells them how to give thanks. In Old Testament days, God designated a special offering of thanksgiving for his people. The Bible says, "With cakes of leaven and bread, he shall offer his oblation with the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving." God was ensuring the people of Israel against the time when they would forget to be thankful to him. God called upon his people at very special occasions to have a time of thanksgiving. When Solomon dedicated the temple in Jerusalem, they were to give thanks. When under Jeremiah they rebuilt the broken walls of the city, they again were called upon to express thanks to God. In the days of revival under King Hezekiah, he proclaimed an official day of thanksgiving in which the people brought their sacrifices and their thank offerings into the house of the Lord. More than 30 times in the Psalms, the psalmist speaks of giving thanks. The psalmist said, "Be thankful unto him and bless his name." And again he said, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." He even said that he would arise at midnight to give thanks unto the Lord. Jesus taught us to give thanks as he gave thanks and broke the loaves and the fishes to feed the multitude. He thanked God again when he broke the bread of communion for the disciples the last night on earth. At the grave of Lazarus, he said, "Father, I thank thee." Paul emphasized thanksgiving when he said, "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So thanksgiving is a part of the most intimate relationship that exists between man and God. And yet there are millions today of even professing Christians that neglect to thank him. It is the custom of many Christians, for example, to bow in public places and to give thanks for the food that has been placed before them. I've had scores of waiters and waitresses and even stewardesses on airplanes to tell me that when I bowed my head, that it was the first time they'd ever seen that happen in their restaurant or seen it happen on an airplane. Thanksgiving is recognition of a debt that cannot be repaid. We express true thanks when we're not able to reimburse the giver. When thanksgiving is filled with true meaning and not just the formality of a polite thank you, it is the recognition of dependence. We thank our friends for doing for us what we desired and needed because we're in debt to them. But because of the pride and arrogance of our hearts, we take from God without even the formality of thanksgiving. This Thanksgiving should not be a day of frivolity only. It should be a time of sober heart searching. I'm asking you to have a prayer meeting in your home on Thanksgiving. I'm asking you to have a family altar in which there is a time of humility and repentance and thanksgiving to God for his past blessings. America is living in a critical hour. This is the hour that we are to turn to God. If on this designated day of Thanksgiving we ignore God and we refuse to give him our thanks, then maybe we deserve his judgment. The peril that stalks the nation today cannot be eliminated by political rhetoric or even religious conferences. It is time when we need to acknowledge our national sins and our national guilt before God. Our pride has caused us to forget that what we have by the grace of God. Let us pray that on this Thanksgiving, as a nation, we will remember that righteousness exalteth a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. The Scripture says that a lack of giving thanks is the beginning of the downfall of individuals as well as nations. How many Americans refuse or neglect to give thanks, indicating to God, "God, I don't need you. I can get along without you." The Bible teaches that if we persist in the sin of pride and unthankfulness, then the irresistible forces of the judgment of God will eventually take their toll.
The Bible says, "Beware, lest thou forget Jehovah thy God in not keeping his commandments." The Bible says the very goodness of God should lead us to repentance. All of these material blessings are gifts of God's hands in order that we might humble ourselves and repent and come to the cross of Christ and have our sins forgiven and washed away by the blood of Christ, that we might be born again. The goodness of God should lead us to repentance. We should thank God for the spiritual blessings beyond the power of human tongue to describe. Here in America, we still have freedom of worship that we take for granted every day. In many parts of the world, there are believers who cannot assemble themselves. They cannot speak their religious convictions because of totalitarian power. We have Bibles all over America. We have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel by radio, television, and through films to millions. God has blessed us with 1,001 spiritual blessings. But more than any other spiritual or material blessing is the blessing of God's offer of salvation through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same one who gave His only begotten Son is the giver of every other benefit. The Bible says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things?" To all who have received the gift of His Son, He gives also the gifts of peace and joy, confidence, power, courage, and hope. When I see Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, I must bow in front of that cross and say, especially on Thanksgiving Day, "Thank you, Lord, for not sparing your Son. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." This Thanksgiving, I want you to receive the gift of God's grace, which is in His Son, Jesus Christ. To the rest of you who name the name of Christ, I beg that we make it a day of real thanksgiving, in which we fall on our knees and give humble and sincere thanks to God for all the spiritual and material blessings that He has poured down upon us as a people.
That admonition to give humble and sincere thanks to God on Thanksgiving is one that David Bruce says the Graham family lived out in their own home.
Thanksgiving, the idea of asking people about what they're blessed by, there would always be prayer, a central spiritual component to whatever gathering they had.
If you feel the need for developing a more thankful heart, we have someone who would like to talk with you and pray with you. They're at our 24-hour prayer line, 855-255-PRAY. Whether you're ready to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ or deepen the one you already have, that number is a perfect place to start. 855-255-PRAY. Or you can visit us also online at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. Earlier in the program, you heard about the new Billy Graham Archive and Research Center. David Bruce says its mission is to train, equip, and encourage a new generation to share the message of Jesus Christ.
The definition of people who would come to study and to be trained and equipped is broad. Number one, you think about a researcher, someone who wants to simply come and delve into the records, the files, the audio, the video, the extraordinary memorabilia that we have in this building, who wants to study. Maybe Mr. Graham, there are certainly academic works being done right now, PhD students, authors who do work on Mr. Graham, that's one thing. Secondly would be for a pastor, a student, a Bible student, a lay person who's a leader in their church to want to learn principles of evangelism, that's something else. It's really for the discoverer, the person on trek to find what God wants them to do in their lives and to perfect, as it were, their skills in preaching or evangelism or outreach. This would be the place to come.
To visit the Archive and Research Center in person, you'll need to schedule an appointment at this website, BillyGrahamArchiveCenter.com. And now that same website also makes it possible for you to access a lot of the center's content wherever you are online.
For instance, Mr. Graham's manuscripts, the preaching manuscripts that he carried into the pulpit all around the world, showing how he fashioned a message, how he worked with that message. You'll see the red underlining. You'll see his notations as the Holy Spirit was working with him, preparing him to preach. Those will be available online.
The address for that website again is billygrahamarchivecenter.com. The Archive and Research Center is home to more than a million photos, including pictures of the Graham family home in the mountains of western North Carolina. That was a home that David Bruce says was filled with warmth and love at Thanksgiving and all through the year.
Mrs. Graham just delighted in her home. And so it was decorated for whatever the season was, welcoming. In wintertime, the fireplaces would be roaring and very much like all American homes where people would be invited back. And of course, the children had scattered, living in several different states. And so there were times that it was a reunion just to have those folks back, as many as could gather.
We hope you've enjoyed the memories and insights that have been shared on this Billy Graham radio special, A Life of Thanksgiving. A reminder that you can listen to hundreds of Mr. Graham's messages anytime you like. They're at the Billy Graham Audio Archives. You'll find the archives when you go to billygrahamradio.org. That's billygrahamradio.org. If you'd like to stay up to date on all the ways the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association continues to share the message of Christ, be sure to follow us on Facebook. And one more reminder about contacting us if you'd like to find out more about beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ or deepening the one that you have. Or whenever you would like to pray with someone, call us anytime, 24 hours a day at 855-255-PRAY. That's 855-255-PRAY. Or if you'd rather, visit us online, findpeacewithgod.net, findpeacewithgod.net. I'm Jim Kirkland. Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for listening to A Life of Thanksgiving, a production of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.